Welcome to the Better Questions Podcast, where we wrestle with hard questions and seek to ask better ones. I want to thank you, all of you who reached out. I have taken a bit of a break recording podcasts at first, largely because I couldn't get through 2 minutes without coughing a lung. I was dealing with some respiratory junk, but that is healed up and I'm back recording. So thanks for your patience and thank you for sending in your questions. I've got to tackle a couple here today from my friend Tracy, who asked a couple Bible questions that I thought would be worth exploring. So there's two questions here. The first question is, have you ever heard that the rain didn't happen until the ark was built and the flood began? I know it didn't rain in Eden, but rain isn't mentioned until the flood. Really good question. I don't know that I've heard that said that way. I know that there are some Christians who claim no rain before the flood, but I think if we do a close examination of scripture, we're going to see something different. And maybe the better question here is, how do we interpret the Torah? How do we interpret the historical parts of the Torah? Because I think there's a misconception sometimes. While we would say absolutely that Genesis 1 through 11 is historical, meaning things happen. This isn't just a fable or it's not a myth. I would say no, there was a flood. There was an actual, creation. There was all these events that had happened, certainly. But the problem with the Bible as a historical book, which, let me be clear, it is a historical book in many ways, is that it doesn't give us a full history, meaning there are gaps and there are things left out, right? It's not comprehensive. There are many things that we have to sort of consider when we're reading it, like, well, what happened in these years that aren't mentioned? Or what about the other people involved in this scenario? Did Cain and Abel have other brothers and sisters? We know they did, but we don't hear about them. Like, there are so many questions. And so I think when we think about this, we can go ahead and turn to Genesis 2, 5 and 6. It says, "The Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Now, how do we interpret this? All that can really be said is that no rain had fallen up to that time. So that is prior to the creation of man. Remember, Genesis 2 is primarily this recap of day 6 of creation, right? And so this passage describes the environment before Adam was created. The mist may have been one of God's primary ways to hydrate and dry the land that he created in day 3. But I think this mist was likely just the watering source for that vegetation throughout the rest of the week. The text does not require, however, to be the only water source after Adam's creation. Some have argued that the mist eliminated the need for rain until the time of the flood. I think the presence of the mist prior to Adam's creation does not necessarily preclude the existence or the need for rain after he was created. I think we can't read that into the text because the text doesn't actually say that. So Genesis 2, 5 through 6, I think it sort of reveals that before the sixth day of creation, God had watered the plants. He did it with the mist, but he had not yet caused rain. Now, all that to say, another passage that I've seen people maybe use to make that claim would be Hebrews 11, 7, in which we learn by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark. And so some would say that things not seen means rain, implying no one had seen rain before Noah's flood. But I think that's more likely referring to a catastrophic flood, right? Certainly something they had not seen in that part of the world, it's not imaginable to anyone, right? There's a big difference between heavy rain and a flood that would completely cover the ground. I think one of the better questions and things to wrestle with is we should use caution in making absolute statements about the environment prior to the flood, because there's so much about the pre-flood world that we just don't know with certainty, right? For instance, you know, breaking open the fountains of the deep, right? This language of the scriptures, with volcanic activity, disturbance of tectonic plates, the land masses, the deepening of the oceans to accommodate the floodwaters, like what all went into this, right? This would be a permanent change to the world's topography and climate. And so I think we need to use caution because there's just so many things about the pre-flood world that we don't know with certainty. And then you might even ask the question, well, what about the rainbow? Didn't God create a never before seen rainbow as a sign of his promise? Yes and no. If he said in Genesis 9:13, I do set my bow in the cloud. But he doesn't imply that he's never set a rainbow or clouds before, but only that from now on, a rainbow appears as a sign of rain ending. And so there's special significance, right? God's promise to never send a worldwide flood. So I'll say all this to say, I can see where people come to that conclusion, but we can't prove that there was no rain before the flood. And to insist they're not, we're actually going to say something the text isn't saying. All to say, in my humble opinion, I don't think we should make statements on things that aren't explicit. I think we can speculate and think about it, but that's part of doing the work of interpreting the scriptures. And I think it's a great question, however, one I had not thought of in a long time. So thanks again for sending in that question. Thanks again for tuning in. We got more questions dropping next week, and I'm really enjoying wrestling through these things. So we'll see you next time. Grace and peace.